Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Wanted to make sure you were listening to all of our sports podcasts on the Ringer Podcast Network, like the Ringer MLB Show, hosted by Ben Lindbergh and Michael Bauman, who know more about baseball than anyone I know. What about the Ringer NFL Show? Kevin Clark, Robert Mays, Tate Frazier, Mike Lombardi. Multiple podcasts coming up as the season approaches. The Ringer NBA Show. Chris Vernon, Kevin O'Connor, Chris Ryan. Whole bunch of the Ringer staffers. Yeah, I know it's the offseason, but it's coming back. The Masked Man Show with David Shoemaker. It is the best wrestling podcast on the internets. Listen to our Ringer podcast. Don't forget about mine, the BS podcast with Bill Simmons. All of them you can find on the Ringer Podcast Network.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hey, this is WWE superstar Braun Strowman.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to The Masked Man Show.
And you are listening to The Masked Man Show.
And you're listening to The Masked Man Show.
Welcome to the Masked Man Show. I'm here, as always, with Dave Schilling. I'm Dave Shoemaker. I just call myself Dave for the first time in my life.
That's okay.
It feels good.
I've been doing it for years now, and look at me. I'm a huge success.
It's really true. In honor of the start of the NBA season last night, we're just going to talk only basketball today.
That's cool, because I was watching the Dodger game instead. So
we can't talk, basketball or crap.
We can discuss the gruesome Gordon Hayward injury if you'd like.
Oh man.
I feel like I did it to him myself. The Schilling curse, because I wrote that profile about him. And then he busts his ankle. I'm sorry.
You are
Celtics
a cursed
fans.
Profiler, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
You're worse than like video game boxes.
Let's see. We had Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle. Charlotte Flair's father goes to the hospital. And Rudy Gobert hurt himself in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right before my profile is going to come out. So if you're out there and you're thinking about maybe letting me write about you, don't do it.
That's a really good advice. Always listen to a man who says, don't give me work. big week. Every week is a big week because every week is a pay-per-view with WWE. We have Tables, Ladders, and Chairs this coming Sunday. Here's an interesting thought I just had. Speaking of the NBA season, if there's one, like everybody's hyped about basketball. If you like basketball, this is the most exciting moment. The games are just starting, the season's starting, anything is possible. Except if you want to have one overarching complaint about the NBA season, it's that it sort of feels like anything is not possible and the Warriors are going to waltz to another championship.
The Rockets won last night.
I know. But if you want to have, if there's one overarching complaint, about, I mean, we're very interested to see where these super teams take the league in general. I'm just saying that the complaint is that we all, like, it's hard to be excited about what's happening now when we feel like we know what's happening in the future.
That's wrestling.
Exactly where I'm going with this. It's a little bit hard to get excited about TLC when you know what the main event of Survivor Series is already.
And we've got our super team. On Raw, the Shield is back.
He did.
The
true.
Real Shield in their Sunday best.
That's really great. Well, the basketball parallels are going to go just totally off the rails almost immediately. But it would be pretty great if basketball was like the WWE is right now, where we have the super team and the Shield, and yet like Michael Jordan and Charles Oakley still have the NBA championship and they're just like shooting hoops like once a month and that we have to pretend we care about that.
Exactly.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about? Let's just talk about Survivor Series. It's coming up.
Sure, why not?
According to Michael Cole, who is doing play-by-play on SmackDown and who is the, you know, the voice of God in the WWE, the Survivor Series is the one time a year where wrestlers from different brands can face off.
Well, besides the Royal Rumble.
And WrestleMania and SummerSlam, presumably?
No. There's no cross-branded matches on WrestleMania.
But there could be.
No. They've made it clear that Survivor Series is
the only night?
It's like the All-Star game. Yeah, it's the only night where they can wrestle each other. They did that last year. They had the tag team matches.
All right.
Go with it, man. It's kayfabe. Go with it.
I just, that's just crazy talk. And he framed it in a really, he phrased it in a very strange way that made me think he was deliberately misinforming us. But anyway, Jinder Mahal has called out Brock Lesnar, champion versus champion. This match was rumored, and, you know, credit to WWE for jumping or doing their best to get out in front of these rumors. They put it on literally the next episode of television they could have after these came out. I mean, I guess they could have done it on Raw, but whatever. They have a pay-per-view to worry about. And so Jinder calls out Brock Lesnar, gets confronted by AJ Styles. I don't mind the two things happening at the same time. But it is an interesting... It is interesting that we're getting Jinder versus Brock. I mean, how do you feel about this? We talked to... it's total sidebar. We talked to Finn Balor last week on the phone. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be on the podcast. The audio was just too terrible. I mean, literally, like, I would put some bad audio on a podcast. It was just ridiculous. Apologies for not being there. We're trying to get it up as a Q&A on the ringer.com. But it's, you know, some massive, like, CSI work going on there to make that happen, too. But we were talking to Finn about potentially being Brock's opponent at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Now we got Jinder Mahal instead. I got to tell you, I'm not mad about it.
It's not automatically clear what the point is. So, ideally, both of these guys are going to be as strong as possible going into WrestleMania. I think if you out there in wrestling WWE Universe Land think that Jinder Mahal is going to lose the belt before WrestleMania, I want to say you're wrong. He's keeping the belt. He'll drop it at WrestleMania.
Brock.
No, Jinder.
Oh, Jinder.
I think Jinder's keeping it.
All right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. Anyway, so if we're getting to that point where both of these guys are trying to be built up to be the top stars on each brand, then why put them up against each other? Jinder Mahal jobbing out to Brock Lesnar does nothing for Jinder Mahal.
Why do we think Jinder's going to lose?
Can you imagine if the first loss that Brock Lesnar has since WrestleMania?
No, why do we think anyone's going to lose? Let me ask that. I understand that when a big match on a big show ends in a schmoz or no contest, people complain. But if all of Brock Lesnar's pay-per-view matches since WrestleMania had ended in no contests, would there be any significant difference?
Probably not, because he's already well established as being the top guy.
And we know that none of these matches matter.
Sure. Well, I mean, wrestling matches don't matter because they're predetermined.
I feel like we're really down today. This is my fault.
Bring up the energy, man. Come on.
All right. We got to do something positive here.
I think it'll be an interesting match. We've never seen them together. Jinder Mahal has so far wrestled mostly guys that are smaller than him. So to wrestle a pure power match might be where he needs to be, where he's sort of bumping and pushing people
100%
around.
100% agree. I mean, I think Jinder Mahal is, not properly rated. He's both overrated and underrated, depending on who you're talking to at the moment. We obviously, like, you know, sing his praises to a sort of ironic degree. But I think he's really great. I mean, I think he has a lot of upside for the company. And also, when you talk about, getting the most out of your talent, the old Paul Heyman trick, or basketball parallel, you know, can you get the most out of having Chris Paul and James Harden on the floor at the same time? Is it diminishing returns?
Let me compare Jinder Mahal not to Chris Paul, but to Nick Young.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He does a couple things well, but under the right circumstances, with the right teammates around him, he can be great in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I think we know Jinder Mahal without the title is... we know what he is. He's Aiden English. He's Rusev's running buddy. He's you know, a mid-carder or worse. With the title, he's holding down segments on every episode of SmackDown and main eventing pay-per-views. Now, whether or not he deserves that over AJ Styles is a sort of silly question, but, like, you know, that they're getting the maximum value out of him. And I'm very interested to see now, you know, how he's going to hold up in the ring at someone like Brock. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a five-star classic. I don't think there's any chance of that. But, you know, who knows?
Brock hasn't had a five-star classic in a long time.
No, he certainly hasn't.
The SummerSlam main event was as close as he's gotten to, like, oh, this is a really great match. And guess what? He was in the back for most of it.
Do we have any other rumors for Survivor Series since we're talking about the next pay-per-view that's not this Sunday?
Yes. The Undertaker has been rumored to be returning yet again to face the Shield. That Kane is the beginning of Undertaker coming back.
So we conceivably have like a 5-on-5 match on the Raw side, which is like, or just, does it need to be 5-on-5? Does the Shield need two more friends? They're fighting five people on Sunday.
I don't know why it's 3-on-5.
It seems very strange.
Why would Kurt Angle agree to that? That doesn't make any sense. Unless he just really doesn't like the Shield. Anyway, what did you think of the promo that they cut?
Wait, before we get to the Shield.
Okay, sorry.
And I've heard rumors that there's going to be like a team, like a team Kevin Owens versus team Shane situation or something like that.
Interesting.
Too. So we could have some like group matches on both sides.
Right.
Or I guess it would be team Daniel Bryan. I don't even know. Anyway. Survivor Series seems fun.
Yeah. We had a great time watching it last year. I thought that the Raw versus SmackDown men's match was ridiculous. And then, of course, the Goldberg Shocker. So, you know, Survivor Series is starting to get that major show vibe again.
Speaking of shockers, we had a big one on Raw, which we've already spoiled.
Sister Abigail and Finn Balor exactly. With the pumpkin face?
Before we get to that, by the way, browsing... Squared Circle on Reddit, I told you we needed to pick me up. And I just want to give a shout out to Reddit user Dallin Skid, who put up a post praising the single dad that was in the seat behind him at the SmackDown taping. This guy's a wrestling fan, turned around, saw a single dad with the daughter, and they were like, he was... You know,
clearly destitute, very poor.
I don't think it was that clear, but he bought the guy a beer. They thanked him, and the girl, the daughter, and also danced in the aisle with the guy's daughter. And they had the time of their life. This is the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my life. So go on Squared Circle, look for SDL SmackDown Live Seattle to the single dad trying his best in the seats behind me. And then there's a response from the dad in the comments thanking him. It's the sweetest, most heartwarming thing in wrestling.
This sounds like a work. I feel like I'm being worked right now.
Listen, just like with wrestling, I don't care. As long as it gives me the feels, I'm okay with being worked.
Fair enough.
So on Monday night Raw, we got a lot of things. It's 3 hours long. I think the most significant thing, I mean, should we just skip right to the end?
If you want, yeah. Kane returns.
Kane In the middle of towards the end of a Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns steel cage match, Kane reenacted his initial debut.
Minus the pyro, which they can no longer afford.
I think they can afford the pyro.
Then why aren't they doing the pyro?
Kane doesn't need pyro.
Okay, he's just so intimidating.
Yes.
Future mayor.
I've not
Glenn
missed
Jacobs.
Pyro a single time.
I think with Kane, I'm going to miss it when he comes out for an actual match. I also miss when Brock does his thing and then he jumps on the ropes and the pyro used to go
going
off.
Going to shows without pyro is much better. Yeah. I'll just say that.
All right.
Listen, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Kane comes out of the ring and destroys Roman Reigns, cementing himself as the fifth member of Team Heel at TLC this Sunday.
A bunch of guys with nothing in common get together to beat up the Shield.
The Shield's pay-per-view debut at the Barclays Center was the Shield versus Team Hell No plus Ryback, which was, despite the fact Team Hell No was a thing, it was basically three guys with nothing better to do
right.
versus the Shield.
And that's what we get yet again.
Yeah. Except now it's five guys.
Yeah.
And maybe Curtis Axel running interference on the outside.
And we should take this opportunity to say Bo Dallas is missing in action. Bray Wyatt has not been on TV. Add that to the list of people who may or may not be trying to leave WWE.
That's an interesting
Nia
one.
Jax apparently got a leave of absence approved, so she's off television. Neville is asking for his release. And Bo Dallas is just not around. What's happening?
Bo Dallas, I mean, he might have, I hope nothing bad happened to him. He might, like, I hope, like, the circulation in his hands didn't get cut off by his fingerless gloves.
I mean, if Emma can wear them and it's fine, I'm sure Bo Dallas is okay.
There was an interesting story. Are we going to totally just get sidetracked because Meltzer tweeted this week that there's several stars thinking about leaving the company.
Right. Yeah, this is what I was referencing. It's not surprising because when you watch a 3-hour Monday Night Raw, and this last week was indicative of this phenomenon, is you see who is important to the company and who's not. And there are a lot of really talented wrestlers who, for some reason, are getting lost in the shuffle on a 3-hour television show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So why not go to New Japan? Why not go to Ring of Honor and get to do whatever you want and feel like a superstar again instead of, you know, 70th on the call sheet?
Yeah, also, I think that's like a little bit of, I mean, not everybody on the roster could make it on the indies. Even, I mean, look, Ryback has not worked on the indies.
Well, Ryback is a different story.
Well, yes, he's a very extreme example, but like I feel like Cody is sort of, I mean, he's one of my favorite WWE superstars of, you know, in this era. I loved watching him work. But you see him on the, I mean, he's getting better on the in his indie style and in New Japan and stuff, but I still think I feel like he's sort of like the Mendoza line for like straight up WWE guys jumping to the indie to the international scene. Like if you're significantly worse, if you're a notch worse in the ring than Cody, or not worse, but like a notch less acclimated to the indie style, I don't think it's going to work for you.
Well, I mean, let's look at Cody and see what he has going for himself when he's trying to get booked on shows. He's in the Bullet Club.
Oh yeah, I mean
he's making tons of money on merchandise, so he's set. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. Plus, he's Cody Rhodes. He has a
technically.
Well, sure, but he has the name value of being the son of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
But then Neville at least can work. You know, Neville's not going to have a problem. Neville could go to New Japan tomorrow and put on a 5-star
No, Neville's
classic.
Probably the top star. I mean, one of the top guys, you know, who could do a lot better compared to his WWE profile.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out some names.
Okay.
And see what you think. How they would do if they left.
Okay.
Just going down the superstar list alphabetically, just pulling some names that jump out at me. Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews is so athletic that he could probably pick up that style very quickly.
Well, he was working. I mean, he was, you know, UA Nation, and where was he working? Dragon Gate, all this. I mean, he was working around and
he'll be fine.
He would be really, really good.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have some fun in Japan. Okay. Baron Corbin.
Absolutely not.
You don't think he could?
Who would you rather have in the Bullet Club, Baron Corbin or Hangman Page?
Well,
give me Hangman Page every day.
Give me Hangman Page in WWE. That's my argument.
I think that most of those guys in the Bullet Club, if not all of them, save for maybe Chase Owens,
yeah,
could go to WWE tomorrow.
I spent an inordinate amount of time since Cody landed in New Japan watching him and Hangman Page to try to figure out how tall Hangman Page is.
You can't tell in New Japan. You have to put him next to Baron Corbin to figure out how tall he is.
Yeah, but I think he's big enough. I think he can pull this off. He's a good wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really enjoy him. And you're right. I mean, a lot of the guys in the Bullet Club are good. I mean, but Baron Corbin could be like the third member of War Machine or something. Like there's a role for him in Japan or on the indies, right? If he weren't, I actually feel like being Baron Corbin is more of a problem for him than his, you know, so-so work rate.
I think you made the point with the Apollo Crews question. Apollo Crews sort of worked his way through the indies already.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin was an NXT guy.
Yeah.
He developed in Florida.
Sure.
Under the WWE style. He has to learn how to work that stiffer Japanese or indie style from scratch.
I think that's true.
I think
the transition is easier for giant white dudes in Japan.
I mean, Scott Norton is a former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Scott Norton, one of the all-time greats. I'm gonna skip a lot of these 205 Live guys because I think it's the answer is too easy.
If I had to guess, I think a lot of them are the ones who won out.
That's interesting. If I were like Cedric Alexander, I'm looking at him right now. If I were Cedric Alexander, I would probably think that I could do better if I weren't with WWE, but I would also, but my actual move would be encouraging all the other 205 Live guys. I'd be like, yeah, guys, let's all walk out. Let's all demand our releases. And then when they're gone, Cedric Alexander's like, I'm the new champion of 205 Live.
It's me and Enzo at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, Cedric Alexander tomorrow could be Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the same character, the same worker, but Juice Robinson has carved out quite a name for himself in Japan.
All right, Cesaro.
Oh God, yes, definitely.
Yeah,
no question. That guy is a hoss, man.
Do you think he'd be better off?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about Cesaro, a little bit more clearly here, because as much as you want him to go, he's working the main event of TLC.
Exactly.
He's in good shape. I guarantee you, he's not one of the ones who wants to leave. He's fine.
It's true. Dolph Ziggler.
I'd rather have Juice Robinson. I like Dolph, but I think that he's the most American wrestler.
I think he could do okay.
I think he could lead the Bullet Club if Kenny left, because he would get so much heel heat for just being Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Juice Robinson's matches, but I feel like I grade them on a curve now.
Because the ladies love him so much.
Because he was not that great in WWE.
Sure.
And I feel like Dolph will get that curve. Like I mean, any opportunity to like be excited anew by Dolph Ziggler, we'll take. Just going to get through here really quickly, see if there's anybody jumping out at me. Like, Finn Balor is a really great one because, like, yes, of course, he would be the biggest star outside of WWE, full stop. But he's also a pretty big star in WWE.
He's fine. He's making so much money on merchandise. Why would he leave?
Yeah, totally.
He's already been the Universal Champion.
No, I'm with you on that. But I think that's an interesting way to like set the bar, set the ratio, whatever. How about Kofi Kingston?
There's no way
newly shorn Kofi Kingston.
He would do fine. He would do fine, but he's doing more than fine in WWE. He's arguably one of the biggest stars in the company just because the New Day is so over and makes so much money. They could main event a pay-per-view.
All right.
Tomorrow.
I'm going to do one more.
Okay.
Rusev.
Ooh, this is a tough one. This is a real tough one,
yeah.
Because Rusev is in that place where he's not doing a whole lot, and you can tell he has so much creativity and energy that's not being used. Like, just his little backstage moment on SmackDown made me laugh. All the Rusev Day stuff, him leaning into being a comedic type character.
Yeah.
I feel like he almost has a Mick Foley-esque quality to me,
mm-hmm.
in that he's so good in those segments.
Yeah.
And could really, really become a bigger star if they let him do that more.
I said it during his first year. The first year of his run, when I was saying they have to get ready for the pivot because he was so over, I was afraid the fans were going to turn him babyface, and they need to figure out what the pivot is. They need to put him in a tracksuit and let him be like one of the Russian mafia toughs from like the Hawkeye comic book. Just let him be Eurotrash, you know. Just let him like fully like slick the hair back. Put it, have his like the chest hair coming, nothing, no shirt underneath the tracksuit, and just have him like, you know, sitting on like folding chairs outside of coffee shops.
Selling
like,
burner cell phones.
Yeah. Like,
I keep
that's
thinking,
the look.
I'm thinking of him as a character from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes.
Like, just full stop, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's great. I think that he's better off in WWE because he can flex those muscles.
Of all of the guys that we talked about, even including Apollo Crews, he's the sort of guy that I could imagine being like a legit champion, not just because he's WWE approved, you know, comes with a WWE cred. He could be a champion in Japan. He could be a champion in any significant indie fed. He could do it.
If Michael Elgin was more athletic, like able to take crazier bumps and maybe fly around a little bit more, he's Rusev.
I mean, Elgin's done some pretty athletic stuff.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that I think of Rusev maybe being a little bit more...
He's got a little bit more of like the connective tissue.
Yes.
In the athletic department. I'll give you that. All right. We were talking about something else.
We're just talking about Raw.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, Bray Wyatt Wait, did Bray Wyatt come out on Monday Night Raw?
No. See, they're both gone. Both of the Rotunda boys are gone.
Because Bray, yeah, people were like tweeting us about Bray Wyatt with their like apologies and stuff, and I was just like, did something happen that I just totally missed?
So he did the Sister Abigail thing 2 weeks ago, but we didn't get to talk about it because we had the Finn Balor thing that took up a lot of time. And then last Monday, or this previous Monday, they just had a Finn Balor promo in the ring, and then they did that overlay with the pumpkin face. He's going to be special Halloween-themed demon this Sunday.
I literally forced that out of my brain the moment after it happened. I'm so unhappy about it.
It's horrible.
I'm so unhappy about pumpkin face.
They can't do supernatural angles. There was a time when WWE was actually kind of good at it. Some of the Undertaker stuff
was
good.
It was a more innocent era.
Perhaps, but maybe it's because I'm an older guy. I don't know. Anyway, it's not working for me. Maybe kids love it. Maybe kids see it the same way that I saw The Undertaker dying and going to heaven at the Royal Rumble.
That was fake.
Was it?
Yeah.
What?
Turns out, I'm seeing if anybody has any like high-res photos of the Sister Abigail face on the internet, and really there's nothing good.
It's him wearing like a veil, basically.
It's like a veil over Joker makeup.
This match is going to be horrible, but we should talk about it more in our TLC preview. Maybe we should talk about SmackDown a little bit, because we're going to talk about a lot about Raw with a preview.
All right. So SmackDown, I'm scrolling through the card here to make sure there's nothing. And we talked about the call out, but Jinder Mahal calling out Brock Lesnar,
and then AJ comes out,
and we're going to have AJ Jinder next week, I believe.
I would imagine so. Oh, no, AJ is wrestling Samir Singh next week.
Oh, that's right. Ziggler defeated Bobby Roode in the Battle of the Wedgies.
I just want to take a moment here to say that the Bobby Roode glorious thing is over. And not over like Rover, like it's done. They killed it.
I was thinking the same thing this week. Here's what I think. If they debuted him as a babyface, this is the sort of like positive spin conspiracy theory. They knew that if they debuted him as a heel, the fans would have made him a babyface because his theme song is so over. Everybody that comes up from NXT is over. So they debut him basically. Well, they don't really like set the table too much, but his first big feud is as a babyface, right? They just let him be a face because the pivot to heel. So that the pivot to heel will then happen more quickly, and they'll be where they want to be with him.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe this is a setup to put them together.
Dolph and Bobby?
Yeah, why not? Because they're both cheating to win their matches, right? They're at a detente now because it's 1-1. You have a third match.
This is a very old school tag team.
Yeah, it is.
Just put the two guys with like the most like anger inducing abs on the same team together.
Yeah, the two handsome guys, put them in a team and let them be like the Hollywood Blondes, basically.
Yeah, that could be really cool. All right, so that's going to happen.
I think we agree.
I think we're agreed that that's 100% going to happen.
Yeah, I think we're also on the same page that
it's going to basically like the Fantastics. I mean, that could be really fun.
Bobby Roode has to turn heel.
I think doing it this way, they've actually ensured that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Speaking of heel turns, let's talk about Sami Zayn for a second.
That's what I was trying. To get everything else out of the way. Clear the table. No, I'm with you. Clear the table so we can talk about the biggest star potentially in wrestling history.
In the history of our great sport.
But Sami Zayn's heel turn, 2 weeks old, is going gangbusters.
I never would have guessed. I said on this show during our Hell in a Cell preview, there's no way they turn him heel. And you said, you're wrong. He's going to turn heel. And he did.
I said, with 100% certainty, I will bet you $1 million. And you accepted.
And now I'm broke.
Yeah. It was amazing. I had no idea you had $1 million, but you had exactly $1 million. So
not
that was it.
1 cent over.
Apologies to your son. Your unborn child who will have nothing to eat. But a bet's a bet. Yeah. Have there been any wrestlers whose gimmick is just I'm poor?
Brawler.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Virgil
is, yes.
Ric Flair.
Well, that's not a gimmick.
Sorry.
Really inappropriate.
Love you, Nate.
All right. So Sammy's, I mean, he had a great promo last week. Great promo this week to open up the show. A little bit too heelish for my taste, I will say.
Interesting.
It was very good, but I liked my favorite. I said it on the show. My favorite thing about last week was that he was kind of right. That he, you know, like he, the best heels believe what they're saying.
He's still kind of right.
No, he is, but he's doing a little, the entrance was a little bit more goony, a little bit more amped up. And like, I'm trying to get booze. I thought that the tap out warm up pants were just a bridge too far when it comes to being a heel.
All right.
I'm just kidding. But the new merch is a nice. He does have new merch, right? Or was he just wearing some stuff I was not paying attention to before?
No, I think all that merch was around before the heel turn.
Really?
Which is weird because it's such babyface merchandise.
Wearing like the merch with the dancing dude on it anymore.
No, he's carrying a flag.
Oh.
Some sort of flag with his initials on
anyway,
it.
Anyway, but the promo was really great. His teamwork with Kevin Owens has been, I mean, not just literal in the ring, whatever, but like when they're on the mic together, when they're celebrating after matches, it's all just amazing.
What a surprise that two guys who are best friends who've worked together for over a decade would be really good together.
You're not talking about The Press Box, my other new podcast with my oldest friend, Brian Curtis.
It's so much better than this one. I hate it.
But yeah, their chemistry is undeniable.
Yeah.
But if you ever find yourself, you know, damning Jinder Mahal or the continued presence of Randy Orton or whatever we smart fans are supposed to be, you know, do with our free time, just think about the fact that Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Shinsuke Nakamura were in the main event of SmackDown. What, like, where the hell? I mean,
and it could be argued that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are the biggest heels in the company right now.
Oh yeah,
because what other actual heels are there in wrestling? Jinder Mahal is obviously a babyface in India, so that's a weird thing. The Miz is a heel, but I don't think he's anywhere near as important to the company as Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Totally agree. Anything else you want to say about Sami? Should we just take a second and just literally applaud him? He's doing so good.
I even enjoyed his ring work more last night.
Yeah.
Because I just think that there's something about switching personas and having the opportunity to work differently that brings out maybe more excitement and effort and all those things that maybe you lose when you're basically working the same match every night.
I agree with that. I was watching Kevin Steen versus Nakamura after SmackDown went off the air. I was watching Steen Nakamura at Ring of Honor War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I just say that to say it. It was a good match.
I enjoyed it very much.
It was a very good wrestling match.
Well, the last thing I'll
Available on YouTube. Shouts to Ring of Honor.
Last thing I'll say is I had so much fun with them hugging at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And Owens screaming like, what did he say?
He's like, hold me
tighter or something. It was very romantic in a good way.
Very, very good. All right. Before we get to TLC, let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Bill Simmons. I want to tell you about the Ringer's gambling podcast. It is called Against All Odds with Cousin Sal, and you're not going to believe this, but it's hosted by Cousin Sal, the biggest degenerate gambler that I know. He's such a degenerate. He has three other degenerates that he calls the degenerate trifecta, and they break down every conceivable gambling thing you would ever want to gamble on. They even take you to Captain Morgan's make-believe casino, where Sal makes up props on all kinds of things, sports, pop culture, you name it. You are going to want to get your gambling advice from these guys. Cousin Sal, he's been a staple on the BS podcast for the last 10 years. So good that we gave him his own podcast. Check it out, Against All Odds with Cousin Sal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
TLC.
This is it.
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
The biggest pay-per-view of the year.
The biggest. This is the only pay-per-view of the year in which Raw and SmackDown superstars are not allowed to interact.
That's not true. Most of them. No. There's only one or two.
Michael Cole just texted me and said this is the only pay-per-view of the year in which matches take place.
So weird that it was in all caps, too.
That was very, very strange. Do you want to just start at the top or the bottom?
Let's start at the bottom and work our way to the main event.
Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox in the kickoff match.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, they work as well as you can when there's no story.
All right.
They just kind of invented a story. I'm going to go with Sasha Banks winning because why not?
I think that's a safe bet. Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James, singles match for the Raw Women's Championship.
Wait, you got to make a pick?
Oh, sorry.
This is an important
this is formal
part of
picks.
The, yeah, it's an important part of the
Sasha
show.
Sasha Banks. So, well, now I'm thinking about it.
Go with Foxy. She's got a new t-shirt out. First shirt, I think, ever for her.
What happened on Raw?
She lost and then got really mad and then beat someone up backstage.
I'm going with Alicia Fox.
Wow.
Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James, singles match for the Raw Women's Championship.
It's not the right time to switch the belt, especially not in a Mickie James. Alexa Bliss wins with chicanery.
Listen, WWE always loves their crossover mainstream stars, and this is the first Native American Music Award winning title contender that I can recall.
She's a Hall of Famer.
Sorry, Native American Music Hall of Fame.
It's her and... I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Were you going to make a Tatanka joke?
No. I'm not going to make any jokes. That's not appropriate.
Tatanka's theme song was pretty badass. I have no idea if he sang it.
He did sing on the WrestleMania song from WrestleMania the album.
Yeah. Okay. Not a lot of track record there.
Anyway, let's move on from that. This is the spot where Nia Jax should be on the card. It's bizarre to me that Mickie James is the one getting the title shot because they built this whole storyline up that Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax were like frenemies.
Yeah.
And Nia
and
wanted
gone.
The belt.
Now she's gone.
Now she's bye-bye. Okay, sure.
Hmm.
No way Mickie James is winning this match. No way.
Wow, this is a weird sequence that Wikipedia has. I'm going to jump around a little bit
here. You got to make a pick.
I am picking Alexa Bliss.
Thank you.
That is my lead pipe lock of the week.
The Schlag lock of the week.
Asuka versus Emma, singles match. Actually, this is my lock.
This better be your lock of the week.
If I can parlay all of the women's matches, take a flyer on Foxy, I can make a lot of money.
Can I put this in a teaser?
Three team tease.
Shouts out to Cousin Sal. I love that show. Anyway, so I'm going to go with Asuka because, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Asuka's winning. It's going to be a very brief match. But it's going to be quite a spectacle seeing her come out and do her thing and destroy Emma.
Yeah. Although Emma winning could be the greatest, I mean, could be the most like the shocking moment.
That would be hilarious. Can you imagine?
What if they really built it up and saved Asuka for like the main event or for like the semi-main? Like this is a huge entrance, whatever.
It's a good place to put it.
And then Emma wins with like a step over toe hold or just something.
Schoolboy.
Yeah. Not a schoolboy because that's a thing we know. Emma's just like a few moves and she gets her with just like a really weak submission.
Oh man, that would be so sad. But I'm really looking forward to this.
Or just monster push for Emma if she just dominates all the way to WrestleMania.
This is, I think, the first time she's been on two pay-per-views in a row ever in her career in the main roster.
Some real stats there?
A stat guy shilling.
So we both got Asuka in that match, right? All right. Kalisto versus Enzo Amore, singles match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship.
I thought the title switch was bizarre. It seemed like a reaction to the Neville walkout.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we'll switch the title. Whatever. Who cares? It'll be a thing. We don't know what to do. So I think it's going back to Enzo. There's no reason for Kalisto to have this belt.
But Enzo's got buddies now.
Yeah, which is
Or hired muscle, as they call them sometimes.
Even more reason for him to be the champion, to hold the belt for a while, and to make the baby faces chase. That's how wrestling works.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't get hired muscle. Like, he had big Cass. I don't think the 205 Live, like, I don't think the weight class applies to, like, your buddies who come to the ring with you. Right? Why not have an enforcer who's, like, a fully sized wrestler?
Wow. This is really good logic here. You should not be writing for WWE.
What if
it's too good?
Can't Big Show just come out and like be his like just destroy everybody in 205 Live every week?
He's injured.
Or
in
somebody?
Kayfabe, he's injured. And in real life. Yeah, of course. If you had the money to spend on an enforcer, you would go out and do what Chris Jericho did and get Ralphus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ralphus is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the 205, that would be really great if like the weight limit applies to every employee of 205 Live.
You're not allowed to be on the show if you're way more than 205 pounds.
The cameramen are just sitting in the sauna before every episode, before weigh-in every week. It's just like, oh, mother. Yeah, that would be great.
That means Titus can no longer manage Akira Tozawa.
In which case, though, you could get like get like, you know, Nate Diaz to cut a little weight and just have like a really tall, skinny guy as your enforcer.
Sure.
Anyway, Kalisto versus Enzo, what's your pick?
Enzo. There's no reason for Kalisto to have the championship belt. It's Enzo's show now. And I think that's where the frustration comes from. He just drops down from the ceiling and is like, it's my show now in both storyline and reality. And there's no room for these other guys. They're just window dressing.
Sin Cara, by the way.
Ooh, boy. Sin Cara came back last night.
With a vengeance.
Yeah, what's up with that? He won by countout.
He's replaying Kalisto's angle.
I was going to say, isn't it weird?
Kalisto, okay, so I think I'm trying to talk myself into Kalisto only because of all the backstage goings on, because is there a way, like maybe if the Neville walkout is a work, would him coming back, could he come back and like help Kalisto?
That would be awesome. That would be very awesome.
Wouldn't he come back and like help Enzo so that he gets Enzo for the title?
No, his character motivation is to be the champion.
So
his character motivation is not that he hates Enzo Amore.
He does hate Enzo.
Yeah, but doesn't he want the
belt
more?
And isn't Enzo an easier path to the championship too?
Yes, which is why he would do that, but that's a heel move. To go for the easy way out.
Oh, so we're talking about baby. So right, so babyface.
Babyface Neville is going to help the babyface.
They need to just like a baby. If Neville came out during the match.
Huge pop for that.
What about if Neville just somehow enters himself in the match?
Not possible.
Why not?
You can't just enter yourself into a match unless you're Roman Reigns.
Unless you're one of the 85 tag team partners of The Miz on Sunday.
Okay.
What if The Miz is just like, one more stipulation, I want Neville involved in the cruiserweight match. And
Kurt Angle has to approve it.
Right. So Neville gets into the match and just says, if I don't win tonight, I'm going to New Japan tomorrow. He's like the biggest star in the company.
I love how bold your booking has gotten since you proved yourself to be a genius.
All right. What's your pick? You're going with Enzo, right?
Enzo Amore.
I think I gotta go with Enzo too.
No, come on.
All right, Kalisto. I'll take Kalisto.
Kalisto, with Neville related chicanery.
There is too much going on. There's not too much. There's enough weird stuff going on in this division in general that I could talk myself without much evidence into either one. So
I love
for the sake of argument, Kalisto it is. Speaking of this division, the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann is apparently a match on a pay-per-view.
There's so many cruiserweight matches on this show all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because some of them want to leave.
Oh, interesting.
In terms of who wins, you go with the heels, baby. Build up those heels.
Wait, last week, didn't I say, is it possible that we're going to have three women's matches on this show?
And that
came true.
Oh, yeah, there are. There are three women's matches. There's two cruiserweight matches,
but
and
one of
there's
them
supposed
has a bunch
to be
of people.
A Gulak segment.
Really?
He's doing his PowerPoint presentation on the show.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Good for him. So do we actually have to make a pick here? Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric and Swan?
I'm going with the heels.
No.
Okay.
Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann all the way.
All righty. Very scientific decision.
The Demon Finn Balor versus Sister Abigail Bray Wyatt. This is officially what Wikipedia has this as, the demon in quotes,
yeah,
and then in parentheses, Finn Balor,
mm-hmm,
versus Sister Abigail in quotes, in parens, Bray Wyatt. So this is like, according to Wikipedia, this is the demon versus Sister Abigail.
This is possibly going to be worse than the WrestleMania match.
No. Take it back.
It's very possible that it could be worse than the WrestleMania match. Because they're both doing supernatural stuff. Because they're both doing this, you have to assume there's going to be some sort of like weird thing similar to the PowerPoints that they did at WrestleMania. It's like, oh, Sister Abigail has some powers. The demon has some powers. So there's going to be Halloween supernatural stuff for sure. Supernatural chicanery in this match. I have to go with Bray Wyatt. Finn Balor's already won twice against this guy.
Do you ever read the Sneetches when you were a kid?
I was not a Sneetches guy.
Oh, well.
Star-bellied Sneetches?
Yeah, one of the great works of the inimitable Dr. Seuss. This reminds me of the Sneetches because it was like there's like the people that hate each other. Like one, like there's like the Sneetch that has a star and the Sneetch that does not have star, the Sneetches that don't have stars upon theirs, on their stomachs. And then like the ones without him get the stars, and then the ones that had the stars want to get rid of the star. I think this is storyline, because it's like they, one guy puts on makeup, then the other guy's like, I can put on makeup too. Then the other guy takes it off, and the other guy's like, oh look, no
I
makeup
also have
here.
Makeup.
And then they put it back on. It's just it's a vicious cycle. If this goes till the next till Survivor Series is what I'm getting at, will it be back to a no makeup match and they'll try to pretend that that's normal?
How can you do this a fourth time? I don't want to see it a third time. I'm done with it. Now, in our interview, Finn Balor seemed to think that he said he enjoyed doing this.
I love these two guys, and I wish that, I don't know.
I wish that this was anything other than what they're doing.
I wish this was like for the SmackDown title or something. Like, I wish there was just a little bit more. Like, I'm done with the spooky stuff.
Me too. I'm too old for the spooky stuff. But I'm going with Bray Wyatt because it just doesn't make any sense for him to lose three times when he's debuting this.
I don't.
Character.
You know that I don't like hate on WWE writers as some amorphous force for evil in the world or whatever. This would be, and also a lot of the people who, you know, and like I've said before, a lot of the guys out there doing podcasts, you know, they have a lot of good ideas. We have good ideas sometimes. That doesn't mean we have the ability to like write 250-page scripts a week, you know? I mean,
right.
and you know, pull off good pay-per-view framing and booking. That said, I would love to like just give Jim Cornette these two guys for 3 months.
Oh.
You know? Just get some old school booker and just be like, you handle this. Forget it. We're done.
I understand the feeling that like, oh, the old school guys know better, but they come up with some terrible ideas.
No, I know, but I think these are two guys that like, I don't mind. It's not the spookiness I mind. It's the spookiness with the high production values of WWE. It all just sort of seems silly at this point. It's like Kane, like you were talking about earlier. I would rather it be like low rent spooky. You know, I would rather it be like, I really just want to see these guys punch each other in the face, you know? So
yeah, but if Jim Cornette had the book, he'd be like, oh, Finn Balor's too short. He's too short. Get him out. Where's Dolph Ziggler? Anyway, we got one more match, right?
Yes. What's your pick?
I'm picking Bray Wyatt. Sister
really?
Abigail. He's got to win one. He can't job three times in a row. What do you say? Because we're running out of
time. That's the argument that I would have made. Should I be contrary just to be contrary?
Finn Balor is allegedly going to wrestle Brock Lesnar at some point, so they're trying to build him up.
Yeah.
So it's intuitive.
That made sense when he won the last match. Like, they're just going to let him keep winning because he's got to take on Brock.
Yep. But now he's wrestling Bray Wyatt again. So that's why
when would be the next time they could fight? The Rumble? No, there's got to be one. There's a December pay-per-view, right?
I don't know if Elimination Chamber is a Raw or a SmackDown this year, but that's the December pay-per-view. And then there's a Roadblock.
You got like 1 minute.
All right.
We got one.
We
one
got
more
one
show.
Minute. Our heel producer, Jim, is screaming in my ear that we got to get out of here. So let's do it. The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman, The Miz, Kane, Cesaro, and Sheamus versus the American males, Marcus Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. I'm not joking. That is what Wikipedia says right now.
Scotty Riggs follows me on Twitter, and he is trying to get himself over real hard, and I'm sure he did that himself.
Good job, whoever put that on there. We need a name for this heel team. The American males is a good one. Dudes with Attitudes, another good one. Tweet us if you have any good ideas for the name of this heel squad. What is your pick for this match as we're being forced off the air, Schilling?
Very briefly, I'm just going to say the Shield. It would be silly for them to lose. And guess who's just dropped into the match, take the pinfall? Kane. Kane is jobbing out.
You don't even need Kane to take the pinfall. You get two tag team wrestlers who can just like...
No. Because those are going to be issues that continue. You don't want to have a pinfall.
Not if the Shield is going to be the Shield together again at Survivor Series. Anyway, I'm taking the Shield too. TLC, WWE, the only WWE pay-per-view with an ampersand in the title. That's what Michael Cole just told me.
The only WWE pay-per-view where tables, ladders, and chairs are allowed.
Are they allowed in every match?
No, just the main event.
There's only one
TLC match.
We're not going to get the Big Show with the Big Show-sized chair this year?
Sadly, no.
What if Kalisto brought a really tiny chair?
They should have done that in the last year match. Anyway.
Anyway, guys, enjoy TLC this Sunday. We'll be back here next week to break it all down. This is the Masked Man Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. Apologies to Dean Ambrose. We'll see you soon, humanoids.